The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I'm not going to spend this money in East Hampton in the first place. I can't. I just can't. I can't spend another winter out here in the country. I can't do it. I don't enjoy it. Furthermore, I'm telling you, I can't get my figure back unless I hit New York City. You know, that icebox is too near. I've got to get away from that icebox.
Hi, I'm George Chen.
And I'm Paco Romaine.
And you're listening to SupDoc, a show where we discuss and dissect documentaries chosen by our guests from the worlds of comedy, film, TV, and more. And today we're covering the all-time classic doc, Grey Gardens, directed by the Maisels brothers.
The Maisels were approached by Jackie Onassis to make a movie about the Bouvier family. During the filming, their camera gravitated to the crumbling Long Island estate known as Grey Gardens, occupied by eccentric relatives Big and Little Edie. It's a hot mess of codependence, animal feces, American aristocracy in decline, and corn.
And our guest to discuss this film is comedian Amber Preston. Amber's appeared on national commercials at festivals like SF Sketchfest, Gilda's Laugh Fest, where she was named Best of the Midwest, and Mark Maron's Five Comedians to Watch list for Vulture. Along with hosting LA comedy shows The Cut and Punchline Punch Out, she recently released her debut album, Sparkly Parts, on Stand Up Records.
And welcome to SupDoc, Amber.
Yay, I'm here. I'm like, oh, was that? That's me. I'm here.
All your credit.
I was so caught up in who this wonderful guest is. Oh, my goodness.
You're like, I want her career.
Or it's been so long since I've done live comedy. I was like, oh, God, who are they talking about? Like, it's me.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
Remember when I did travel places and talking? And
when did Sparkly Parts come out?
Almost a year ago now. It was April 17th, because I remember it was this time 1 year ago that I was like gearing up to do a big live online Zoom show, and I was learning how to make my Zoom push out to my Instagram and my YouTube and the I'd learned a lot in like 2 weeks, have I used it.
So. Oh, we didn't put in the show you and Mary do, your Instagram.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, and just in the last month, I've started an Instagram live show, we'll call it, where Mary Mac and I just get dressed up and talk on Instagram live, and we'll have a guest, and George has been a guest on the show. And
oh, nice.
Yeah. So, you know, we try to make things happen.
And I'm glad that I thought of you, because we had just talked. I'm like, you should come to the show. And then we were talking about doing Grey Gardens, and I'm just like, let me see if Amber is into Grey Gardens. And you're like, am I ever into Grey Gardens?
I just can't believe I haven't worked that far back in the SupDoc episodes. I'm working through it that you hadn't done it yet. So when we talked about me coming on the show, I was trying to think of like, okay, and I looked, oh, they've done that one. Oh, they've done that one. But I didn't even think of Grey Gardens because it seems like too big. I feel so much pressure right now.
I mean, I'll be frank. This is the first time I've actually watched Grey Gardens, and I've been doing this show for 6 years, and we've never actually. I'm like, I've known about it, and I've like seen the memes, and I'm like, I knew enough about to get the vibe. Like, I got like when people say Grey Gardens, they just mean it's a sort of like decaying East Coast vibe. but this is my first time actually getting through the whole film. So,
I wonder if it is like that iconic and that, or is it just like I loved it so much the first time I saw it that I'm like, oh, doesn't everybody think this?
Oh, I think I'm just I was a neglectful doc fan for this. Is like definitely like one of the, it's like Criterion Collection doc, it's the Maisels brothers, it's like involves like American, like American aristocracy, like was said. So it just, it was definitely an oversight on my part. Paco, you've seen this a couple times, or what's your vibe on
this? This is, I think, the fourth time I've seen it. This is the first time I watched it all the way through in one sitting, because in the past I've had to take breaks and you know, go clean my room, you know, maybe take a shower, call my grandma, check up, you know.
Stop eating. I was eating. We started eating dinner last night, like, you know, in the living room, eating off of our coffee table on our couch. No. And we were both, my husband and I were like, oh, maybe we should eat at the table again. This seems bad.
Do you have any cats, Amber?
No. The first time I saw this, I was living with a roommate of mine who I adore, but she loves cats. Like, one day a third cat just showed up without my knowledge. Like, so the first time I saw it, I was definitely like, oh, and we were very, we loved crafts. So our living room was full of crafting materials and cats. And I was like, oh no. This is a bit much. And I was younger and fancied myself like, oh, I'm going to wear, and I loved Sex and the City, you know, so I was like, I'm going to wear a ridiculous brooch in a weird spot. I'm very cool. And I wasn't cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty, is the word amazing, right? It's kind of amazing to find out, like, after this, that Little Edie became like a fashion icon.
Yeah. I mean, watching it now as an adult, you think that I thought that the first time, again, it was like, oh, how creative. But she really, the thing she was doing, and you're like, oh, that's clearly a towel. But the way she carries herself,
right,
it's a towel tied with a bit of twine that for sure has cat piss on it. Is soaked in cat piss. Yeah. And she just carries herself with such poise. And it's like, obviously, this is glamour. Like, I think that's, you know, that's part of it, is the way that Little Edie she walks with such grace and is still so proper in that posture and like moves like someone who has the upbringing she did. So it, yes, fashion icon all the way.
It's not the clothes, it's the intent, right?
Yeah.
I
think so. And some of it I would absolutely wear. Like, maybe I would, like, there's a sweater vest she wears a few times as a sweater vest and then as hair. And I was like, oh, I would wear that. Not as hair, but I would wear that.
You would wear it as a sweater vest?
Yeah.
Do you have, there's some, like.
I know.
Where to start? Where to start? Yeah.
Well, it's also the perfect COVID, like, I'll just say that right out of the gate. It is the like, revisiting this after a year of safety in place. There's a line, a quote, like at one point, Little Edie says, it's hard to find the line between the past and the present. She says something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And sitting in her living room, alone, again, say, you know, sheltering in place, 1 year into this, truly 365 days from my last live stand-up show, watching this show, this film about these two women. They're living in the past, but also Little Edie's talking about moving. She wants to get, you know, she's also thinking about her future, but stuck in this decaying house. I was like, oh, this is too real.
Too real. And like the fragile relationship between daughter and mother, you know, like that. That's a very interesting, I think, to like my sister and my mom and how they interact, which is very close to Big and Little Edie, is a lot of love.
Yeah.
But also, like, I just want as much distance from you. My sister and my mom live 5 minutes from each other in Kalamazoo. Wow. So it's they see each other a lot.
Small community. Yeah. That's, yeah. This is rewatching it this time too was the first time I was emotionally like, I teared up towards the end, which we can get into, but there was just a couple parts where I heard things I hadn't heard before. Like, oh, snap, Mama Edie, Big Edie, you trapped that girl. And then, oh, no, you know, just like a few different things. I was like, oh, this is sad in a way I hadn't realized before.
Oh, really? Like, having a little more perspective now and kind of looking back and.
Yeah. And like, what is that fine line of taking care of your family, taking care of your mom, but also. It does feel like she just, there's a, I don't know what Big Edie said at some point, but it was like, well, then I'd be all alone. It's like, well, that, yeah, but you weren't for so long. So at what point does Little Edie get to go off and do her thing? So there's just some things that connected in different ways for me this time.
I was very concerned. At one point, my mom was like living in a over 55 community in Nevada, and she was like, "Well, you can move here when you're 55, and you can live in the you can live with me, and you can take care of me." And I was like, "I do want you to be taken care of. I don't want to live in Henderson, Nevada."
Right.
Like, there are many things where, like, sometimes, like, a mom will just assume things that are, this is what's good for you. Like, even lately, like, she's been sending, like, a lot of videos about, like, COVID stuff and, like, weird exercises and stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm really glad that she's with, remarried and with someone now. And things are, I'm not, it's not on my, you know, daily to do, take care of mom sitch. But also, my sister lived with my mom for a while, like in her 20s. So that was a real bizarro time period. Yeah, like they had a lot of, especially when she was like trying to date and stuff, and then like her boyfriend would come over and my mom would like corner him and like needle him and stuff. Oh man, yeah, like a lot of the mom's very involved in like choosing the mate, it seems like,
which sounds protective, but then sometimes you're like, oh, but we could let her make some mistakes. I mean, she had, there's that comment about the married man and I just say you want to know so much more, but I also don't.
I wonder, like, I know there's like a bunch of different compelling threads to Grey Gardens, but like, what is it that makes this so iconoclastic? Because you can tell it's genius. And the participants, little, big and little, were willing. They weren't shy, you know.
For sure.
But, like, I feel
and
like
they weren't embarrassed. They were not. They had those guests over. I don't know who they were.
Nobody knows.
They came over for the birthday, and they're not embarrassed at all about the holes in the wall and the cat piss everywhere. They're not like, there's no shame, and they come from this grandiose, rich, you know, old money, and they're that's I think fascinating. Number one, that they're not embarrassed at all.
Fascinating.
And where I think now in we're so used to seeing. Reading every little thing. Like, there was no text on the screen at any point except for newspaper clippings. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so used to seeing, like, oh, this is Bob and Jane, the neighbors. This is so-and-so. And this house was built in this date in 1970, whatever. There would seeing other information. We had nothing to observe except these people and their home. And that's it. No history, no nothing.
Nothing. No lower third anything. Yeah. There were no text. Yeah, I know. It's amazing. That's why I love this time period of documentary filmmaking. You get no information.
Yeah.
It's just like, at one point, they're like, you set the house on fire. Like, no, you did. And then you're like, what? So I guess the house was on fire, I guess, at some point.
And they mentioned the beginning, there's the newspaper clippings, like how they had cleaned up maybe like 4 or 5 years before this, I think, is when Jackie Kennedy came in and cleaned up. But you don't really get a sense of how much cleanup.
Right.
The hell?
And Jackie's just like sweeping up cat poop. She's like, I was the first lady, you know.
She's pretty centralist. Oh, did anyone watch the movie that is the footage that the Maisels shot earlier? It came out as a movie called This Summer?
I think I've seen some of that. I've started to watch some of that's another impressive feat of this. I think I've seen the statistic of how many hours of footage they have. but being editing this down, holy buckets, like another bravo to them and their editors. I think there were three of them. I tried to pay attention when I watched it last night, but like choosing what to show us, because there's probably, I mean, just the hours and hours and hours and hours. And what do they do all day in that house? What did they do?
Stayed there apparently too. Yeah. Like they slept there, the Maisels.
Whoa.
They stayed there. That's what I read. They stayed there for like 2 months and lived with them. Can you imagine going to sleep and just being like, hey, brother Maisel, I think we picked the wrong.
Give me some of that flea cream that she was rubbing on. And I was last night watching, like, there's like a few points where you see like extension cords and some lights. And I'm like, those ladies don't own those lights. That's definitely the Mesa brothers bringing in extra, just a little extra creature comforts for filming.
Just stringing up some lights. Yeah. It's this like a movie of nothing but constant contradictions. It's like, you know, like two people that grew up in wealth living in a reclusive upper class area in a mansion that's like falling apart with no money. You know, like they were socialites at one point, but now they're just living by themselves. It's so weird.
It is. And I did a little research because the brothers, I'd forgotten. I thought that maybe they had died in a war or sickness or something, but they were very successful. It looks like one of them had his own law firm. I don't remember what the other one did. And they had been trying. They weren't paying the taxes or weren't paying to keep the house up because they wanted them to move out and move. Maybe I don't know. They wanted to take care of them somewhere else. I don't know. But they had been really trying to get the women to move out of the house. And then when Jackie came in and cleaned it up, then one of the brothers paid the back taxes and was like, oh, fine. So I'm so curious, too, about what that relationship was. Because Mama Edie, Big Edie, at one point, too, she's like, oh, they were such perfect children. And oh, my sons. And they're so wonderful. And I'm like, little Edie's right. She's the one who's been right by your side. She's right there.
Always the one that's right by the side that gets no love. Mm-hmm. It's always the one that comes for the rescue that gets no love. Yeah, gets no respect. It's always the Rodney Dangerfield of children, is little Edie, for sure. Yeah, there is just buckets of mental health discussions that can happen. I couldn't, like, I was trying to, like, little Edie, like, what's happening here?
Is codependence, you know? Is that what I wrote down? I just jotted it down. I'm like, I don't actually know what that, like, exactly what that means, but this feels like, if anything, codependent. I don't know.
It does, but she talks with such hope and like positivity towards the, like,
she does.
Sometimes she's talking as if she's just there, like, helping mother recover from a surgery. Like, I just got to get it. I'm not doing a lot. Like, I'm just going to move to a different, like, I'm just going to go to New York. I can't spend another winter here. Like, she sometimes talks as if she has this whole next life to lead, which is so sad, but so, like, oh, I hope that's the reality in her mind that she sees, you know, like, but then she's oh, I've got to redecorate this room. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Isn't that kind of survival, though? That's like a survival technique, which is like, she knows deep in her heart, she's probably never going to leave. But she's like, when I get that apartment in Manhattan and I get out of here. And then my favorite parts are the stage whispers she does with the Maisel. She's like, did you know? Yeah. You know, I'm like, you're on camera in a microphone.
Yeah.
And she's like, I think they brought a washer and dryer.
He's moved just what I thought was happening. It's happening. And she gets so close to the camera.
Yeah.
Well, that's the part that I didn't realize, like, how much she's really playing to them. And, like, as much as it's, like, voyeuristic for us, it's, like, the opposite of a, or not the opposite of a voyeur, but it's, like, flaneur is, like, the person that wants to be seen, right? And the voyeur is the one that wants to do the watching. So it's, like, they're fully part of that as well. Yeah, there's so much going on with this one.
What was the first word? Flaneur.
Flaneur.
It's like a voyeur. There's a voyeur and a flaneur. They're like kind of like the flaneur is the person who wants to flaunt themselves and be seen, and the voyeur is the one who's like, oh, let me see what they're doing.
Well, I think
which
that's
one are
that
you?
Was.
Oh.
Well, see, I mostly do documentary podcast stuff. I'm definitely more of the voyeur. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The Maisel's voyeurs.
Voyeurs. I think, but her whole childhood, like, she had been brought up to be, her only value was like her looks and her beauty and her poise and her singing. So, like, to her, that was heck yes. Look at these guys. I'm baby's back. I got a camera on me, you know?
Oh, yeah. It did have a bit of a flapper excitement, you know?
I was going to say, this is our happy Women's History Month. This is our Grey Gardens special.
That's how I, as a woman, celebrate it. I do a lot of, like, happy Women's History Month. Yep.
Yeah.
There's no better way to. There are some positive, you know, there are some. I'm stuttering my way through this because I don't know how many silver linings there are in Grey Gardens, but
They're independent women.
I mean, there's love there. There is love there.
There is.
There's love there. There's the sweet, like, that we haven't even mentioned the marble fawn, the sweet neighbor boy. Like, what is he doing there? This teenage boy whose parents are probably like, just go over to that fucking house.
Just get just over help there. These,
just go check it out. Just mow the lawn.
You mean Jerry? Lawn.
Yes, Jerry, the teenage boy.
Jerry.
The marble fawn.
We're trying to figure out what the fuck was. And then so Nicholas, our assistant producer who's on, he's telling, there's a doc about Jerry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess so. That.
I guess there's a documentary made about Jerry. I'd love to. Oh yeah, we got the IMBD link somewhere.
Because he lives there. So Jerry's living a pretty good life. If your neighbors are, and if you live on an estate next to another estate,
yeah.
So I am curious. Like, but he like also went and hung out and ate the food in their beds with them.
Oh, that's mean. Yeah.
What do you want, Jerry? Who wants a nice piece of corn?
No, I don't want any, thank you.
Jerry, you didn't get enough to eat tonight.
Well, I can't resist. I'm sorry.
Come on. Jerry, you're going to put some of this on, aren't you?
Yeah. You want to do it for me?
Why, yeah. Pleasure's all mine. I don't burn myself. Which piece of corn do you want, Jerry?
Doesn't matter.
See how polite he is. You want some, Edie? Where's your plate, here, Jerry?
Put the camera.
I got very big hands. Come on, that is world.
Oh, did I do it nicely? He always compliments me on the way I do my corn.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We all have that friend in growing up whose like house smelled like they were cooking I don't know, vitamins. You know that house that you would go to and it was just so gross when you'd go in, but they're your best friend and you would just be like, yeah, that's neat. I can sit on the couch with you. But did you guys have a friend like that?
I babysat for people like that. You were that friend, George? Oh, no.
Well, that might just be like, you know, there's definitely like, you know, there's different ethnic smells for different foods that might have been part of it, you know.
There's like unclean friend, like there's the friends that have the messy house, like the dish, you know, whatever. Then there's I babysat for people who had like the filthy house.
Yeah, really. Those people, those Ooh. Are the people I'm talking about.
Yeah,
where you see them in public and you're like, they're well kept people, they're neat people, and then you go to their house. Yeah, Scott and Mary, the Wallaces, and then you go and you're like, holy mother of Christ, what happened in this house? My buddy Joey, my best friend Joey, I'd go to his house and his mom I don't think she ever cleaned anything ever. She would pay me $1 to do the dishes because I'd like do them on my own. And then she's like, I should pay you. And she's like, I'll give you $1. So then I ended up having to do the dishes all the time. So it wasn't great for me, but
are those still your rates? Because let me tell you, I can see how sometimes that happens. Like even this morning, I was like, we didn't do our dishes last night. I'm so sick of cooking and dishes, and I like walked in the kitchen. It was just a fucking mess, and I was like, oh yeah, I can see how quickly this can get out of hand.
Yeah. Well, were they hoarders? Were big and little? They weren't hoarders.
They didn't seem like they had a ton of stuff.
We also are seeing them after the cleanup happened, after the county came in.
True.
I was like, there's the neighbors. This is a mansion, but you have neighbors that can smell what's going on here.
Oh,
so,
this
is one of those, you're glad they didn't document the smells as well. This was not a smell-o-vision camera.
I mean, you can smell it. I feel like watching it, you're just...
Yeah, your eyes are tearing for many reasons, yeah.
Yeah, and we don't ever see the closet. Like, where Little Edie, her bed was always made, it seemed like, because I assume she slept in that bed next to Big Edie. Mm-hmm. And she often had fabulous... ish clothes and headscarves and whatnot. So, and jewelry. So I wonder where
she had other
was.
Rooms that she decorated, right?
Yeah.
She had like,
well, there were
like
28 rooms.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And then she also says there's that point where she's showing off one of her brother's desks or vanity. Mm-hmm. And she makes a comment about, I've never been able to clean out these drawers. Can you believe that? And I'm like, yeah, but you can. Yeah. I can believe you've not been able to clean out those drawers.
And then, Amber, you said you watched, and I started watching it, the Grey Gardens, the Jessica Lange, Drew Barrymore movie.
Yeah, the HBO. I've seen that. I know there was a Broadway. There was a musical first, I think.
Wait, maybe. What?
There's a musical.
Grey Gardens?
Yeah.
Of Grey Gardens.
No.
And then there's an HBO, Jessica Lange as Big Edie and Drew Barrymore as Little Edie. And I was thinking... Before I rewatched it last night, I was like, I don't think I liked that one very much. Drew Barrymore and it's just they just wanted star power. Mm-hmm. But now after rewatching it, I think Drew Barrymore with her fucked up childhood Hollywood, you know what I mean? Like being this beautiful, adorable young child, starlet, thrown in the party mix, thrown to the wolves at a very young age, her worth tied to how she looks and how much money she can make.
Oh, fuck.
And then trying to be, I was like, oh, that actually... makes some sense. Mm-hmm. And like you have to see Grey Gardens first, otherwise you would think that the Jessica Lange, you'd think it's made up, like the accent, the voice is like, this is the perfect costume for the day, like this, like I'm a staunch, like that Boston, that New England, I can't do the accent at all, but you would think it's a joke if you hadn't seen it.
Yeah, it seems put on. It seems put on, but it also, like, it's also one of those things you can't put that on. It has to come from an honest, real place.
Yeah.
What they're doing.
Have you seen you have not seen the HBO, the Jessica Lange, Drew Barrymore?
No. I have not.
It is an interesting, like, you see a little bit more of what we presume is to be accurate. Little Edie's, like, social life, and she was involved with a married man, and, like, so it's a little, there's the heartbreak of, like, oh, yeah, she really thought she was going to not have to be stuck in this, I don't know, mold that young women were at that time.
Yeah. Is it called Grey Gardens, the movie?
It's also called Grey Gardens, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's an HBO.
And so I was telling George before we started recording, I thought Grey Gardens was a metaphor. I didn't realize that the house was actually called Grey Gardens because it's perfect for what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's an actually perfect title for... the house and where they live and the environment they live in.
Right. It's another character. I mean, there's a point where she's out on the balcony and she's like, calls it an ocean of leaves. I think like they're the overgrown garden, the trees. And she talks about like she dropped something and she'll never find it again. And like everything Little Edie says is this like poetic, like dramatic, you know, I've lost a scarf down there and I'll never find it again. And you're like, oh, the scarf is your youth and you'll never get that back. It is wild.
So dramatic.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Do you think, what was it like? Do you think Brooks will like this outfit? Do you think it's...
is it too much? She's like, it'll be too much. It'll be too... Do you think he'll be amazed by this? Something she says, like, amazed, or like, yeah, he'll be flabbergasted by it or something.
And in classic kind of Maisel, because their editing is very funny. They're very funny guys, man. And the next edit you see is like Brooks, the gardener guy, just kind of mowing. You know, and she's like, I don't know if this will like get to him or not, if he'll see this. He's like, whatever. Right. Like, just kind of get out of here.
She just, and like, she's like, even like when she's dumping out a bag of bread and a box of cat food in the attic for the raccoons, she's doing it with such style and grace.
She is. I was wondering when she was playing with the box, I was like, what is in the box? Like, I didn't know. I didn't realize that was cat food, you know? And I was like, what is in the box? What is she doing? And then I thought it was for her. I thought it was something she had found, because she finds the book and she's like, why is this book here? This was in my room. There's a mystery afoot. Yeah, exactly. I'll get to the bottom of this. You almost like expect to see like a ghost go past her. And then she has this box, and I was like, I wonder what's in the box. She tears it open, and she just pours it all out onto the Wonder Bread. I was like, oh no.
Oh, for the raccoons.
Please don't feed the raccoons.
Maybe she's smart. Maybe she's putting the food in the attic so the raccoons don't come down to the bedroom where the cat food is. She's like, raccoons, you stay up here. The cat, you eat in the bedroom.
I'm actually surprised the cats and the raccoons could cohabitate so well in that house. I've always been under the impression that a raccoon would just mess up a cat if it crossed its
path. I mean, you're going to get free food. You're not going to mess that up, no matter who you like. I think they were like, you guys cool?
It's understanding. We're
cool. It is. But that was my other favorite quote. I wrote it down. She's talking, Little Edie, at one point, who knows what the real time of this was, but they get in a big fight. Big Edie's talking about, I think, her accompanist. There was a couple of men that came into the house that Little Edie, one she liked and mom kicked away, and then one that was mom's friend. And Little Edie made a point about how she never got her people. She never got her people. She never had a chance to have any friends of her own, and it's heartbreaking. And then she says something, how she sees that's why girls get married. I understand why a girl gets married, to like get out of there. And then she goes, like, the next thing she says is like, even the cats and the raccoons get a bit boring after a while. Sure, like, I love God, I adore animals, but I'm mad about animals, but even the cats and the raccoons get a bit boring after a while. And you're like, well, they're not supposed to. You're not supposed to get anything. They're just supposed to be there.
Yeah, they're not exactly supposed to be household pets.
Oh, gosh.
I guess the cats. But it does have like a kind of Madame Bovary kind of, you know, rich ennui seclusion kind of thing. This is a stretch, but it reminded me of Carmela Soprano. And like her arc in The Sopranos, where she gets by the end of, like, she gets super bored because she's just rich and has like this big house and everyone's gone now and doesn't know what to do with their life. It had that kind of feel to me, which is like that kind of like weird. It's not imaginary, but it's like not tangible, but they're handcuffs. Like, she's handcuffed to her mom in that fucking house and her obvious desire to get back to New York City. You could do a clip show of just the Grey Gardens for every time she's like, when I get back to New York, I'm going back. You know, she's
The very end, she, like, one of the last things she says, she's like, I can't spend another winter here. And she gets so close to the camera, and you see like one tear. It's so heartbreaking. She's like, I don't care if I have to live in a horrible, a terrible rat's nest, even if it's on 10th Avenue. And she's like holding back its tears. It is so heartbreaking. And then she just goes in the house.
She just keeps. And then so Big Edie dies not long after this. She dies in 77, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's just a few years, 3 years out, because this is 74, 75.
Yeah, she was born in the 1800s, right? Because she was like, by the time she had her 79th birthday when they shot this, right?
She's 79. So she dies just a few years later. So then it's like, well, everything she was talking about, Little Edie was talking about, comes true, basically. It's kind of nuts. She moves to New York City and becomes a cabaret singer.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you've, okay. In reality, it's, she fulfills her dreams. And her mom at one point is saying, like, it's put the attention out there. I remember, you know, Big Edie's telling Little Edie in one of the scenes, like, put it out there, put the intention out there, and maybe it'll happen for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's never going to happen. And apparently it actually does happen. It's pretty fucking nuts.
Yeah, I think she did, live out the rest of her days in the city, which is makes my heart happy. Mm-hmm. And even Big Edie, there's some point where one of them, I think Little Edie says, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And Big Edie's like, I had my cake. I chewed my cake. I had more cake. I ate all the cake, but what are you talking about? Like, she's like, she talks about having a great time and having a great life. And I'm also curious, like, what did Mr. Beale, they call Mr. Beale, the father, the husband, mm-hmm. who Little Edie stands the fuck up for. There's a point where she's like shouting about, like, there's like they imply that one of the gentleman guests maybe took care of Big Edie, like there's some, mm-hmm. I missed exactly what was said, but she then Little Edie gets furious at the implication that somebody other than Mr. Beale was involved in any sort of way. And like you know, she really stands up for him and then stands up for herself saying, no, I took care of you. It was like, wait, why does she stand up for the dad so much? It's so crazy to me.
The film that I was just watching, the Jessica Lange one, mm-hmm. It sort of implies that Big Edie's like piano accompanist was like kind of her lover slash like kept man, but also like maybe not into it. And he eventually leaves, and that's when she's like just left to her own devices. And then the dad, Little E's dad, so that's Beale. Yeah, it seems like he's super like he just wants to get her married off. And this is just, you know, what according to the fictional film has to say about it, but that's
well, I'm sure he did, like, you know, you got a daughter who wants to like sing and like live on her own and have opinions, like get that girl married off so he doesn't have to deal with her.
And like that's like very much like someone who moved to New York thinking like maybe I'll do show business at some point, like I'll always kind of harp on like is this where the origin of like I could have been a dancer comes from? This is what it feels like that comes up several times.
Well, and her mom was a singer, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, what else are you supposed? You're going to be a wife or a singer? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of options maybe when you're a rich young debutante.
Yeah,
I know nothing of that world. I did not have a coming out. There was no debutante balls in Fargo, North Dakota.
would that have been like? Yeah, I don't know.
It would have been a barn dance, and I don't know. You would because you mean you just get married right out of high school? Maybe that was it.
Mm. You guys must have had like 4-H in Fargo.
Yeah, they did. I went. I didn't. I was not involved, but I definitely had cousins who grew up in farms, and my mom. Like people, I come from farming people, but I was a city gal. I went to high school in the city.
Like, oh my gosh, she'll take your money. She's a big slinger, right?
Yes. And then I moved to Minneapolis, like right out of high school. So I don't know.
How is the is that where you started comedy?
Yeah. I started in Minneapolis.
In the Minneapolis scene. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Yay. And is Acme your home club?
Yeah, that's where I started. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
So long, but it was great, and I loved it. And that's where I first saw Grey Gardens when I was living in Minneapolis.
Fun.
Yes.
I love that city.
Yeah.
I love Minneapolis. It's such a great town, man. And Acme's such a great club.
Yeah.
Too.
They're smart audiences, and I think it's so cold that they have. Like, they appreciate things because you get it in Michigan. It's so cold sometimes. In the winter, you're leaving your house. You're going to appreciate the heck out of whatever show you're going to. So
Hell yeah. I mean, anytime you can leave the house and scurry into a warm building, you know, you're gonna appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because, I feel like there is some like weird comedic elements to this. I can see now how they kind of turned it into a musical. When you first said that, I was like a little horrified. I've seen Grey Gardens as a musical, but I can see that. I wonder if they was it a comedy? I wonder.
There'd have to be some comedic element. It can't be all sad.
Mm-hmm, right.
You got to have a couple of upbeat numbers. Maybe if it's just even like their memories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Well, I just see like guys coming out dressed as corn, you know, like the different elements, like the cats are like people and the raccoons are like Wonder Bread, or, you know.
Absolutely.
Something like that.
There's been so much stuff that was produced out of this. Like I think Nick was pointing out, everyone who is like tangentially involved in this film has written their own memoir or has their own documentary. Like Jerry, the groundskeeper, has a documentary called The Marble Fawn of Great Gardens. And then Lois was one of the birthday party guests, and she wrote a book about, she, I guess, lived in the house for a minute, too. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Did they have running water? Like, there's a few, like, other, like, just logistical things.
Good question.
I'm like, how did they, but I guess they must have, because the neighbors give them a washing machine.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, and, like, yeah, they look clean enough. Like,
yeah,
like they're persons.
You go through that many headscarves, you gotta be washing that stuff.
I'm sick and tired of worrying about her night and day.
Well, I had a very good.
I was away from her for 5 years.
I had a very good man.
And I was sick and tired of lying awake at night.
I had a very good man to take care of me. You know, he took care of me.
Wondering what was happening to my mother.
25 years, she didn't have to worry.
Who was the man that took care of you for 25 years?
23 Nobody years. Nobody took care of her for 25 years. I took care of this damn house for 25 years. Dare say my mother was ever taken care of by any man, but my father, and I'll push you under the goddamn bed.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Did they get any money from any of the, you know, stuff that people made?
I don't know. And it's like, what, like, this is a huge success. We're talking about it now, but like in 76, 77, the few years after, it's not like, you know, was this film raking in the big bucks and they're getting royalties? You know what I mean? Like, what did Grey Gardens of Film do for them versus what it did for the Maisels versus, it is interesting. And I think it definitely helped her singing Little Edie's career. Later in life, you know,
right.
we weren't going to go see her sing if this hadn't been made. And that you see fashion. I've seen like fashion designers too, like using her as inspiration. And so she's
upside down skirts and cowls and
just fat, whatever you've got, fashion it into something else.
Because it does make you wonder, like, if, I mean, you know, this doc came out in 74, so it probably made like 10 grand or something, you know, on the circuit, because they didn't, even back then, docs didn't do very well, but it was so huge though, you know?
Also feels like a precursor to reality TV in some ways, right? Like it's that sort of like the, also like how much is directed to the camera. Like that's what's interesting to me about the filmmaking part of it is just like how much the Maisels are like riffing with them and how much like there's all this crazy energy being thrown to the camera, to the viewer, kind of through the, she's like, oh, David, you look great, Dave. Oh, Albert, oh, Dave. And like they just really are playing to them so much.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not interviewing them. There's not an interview in this whatsoever. So I'm curious now. It makes me want to go back and look at other documentaries made right before, you know, before this and around, like, was there anything else? Had any, we seen anything like this where it was truly just observing these people in their home? Because they would have been, she would have been dancing. She would have, Big Edie would have been shirtless, like making corn in her bed. Like they would have been doing all of that, whether or not the Maisel brothers were there. You know what I mean? Like
she was shirtless, wasn't she?
She was shirtless all that. They even get in a fight about it. Like the little lady yells at her, you're going to lose, you're going to drop that. And so then they turn the camera into a mirror and we see the filmmakers so they don't show us the naked old lady.
Yeah. Big Edie, she had old lady energy. That lady had, I don't give a fuck energy, you know? That's some old lady energy. It's like when my grandma was that age. She was just like, I don't give a fuck.
Which is, I think, a positive. You said earlier something about finding the silver linings. She seems perfectly fine.
She really does.
She mentions eating her cake and having it all. She's got that old lady, I don't give a fuck energy. She's enjoy. She's happy to visit with the neighbors. She's happy Little Edie's there. She also believes Little Edie's going to do what she wants if she puts it out there. So yeah. She's living her best life. She's thriving in that moment.
Maybe elder abuse, maybe. Possibly. Oh,
I mean.
Involved. There is a shot where I think you can see multiple cat poop stains. Ooh. On the bed. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Yeah, like dripping down the side. There is a close-up where it looks like things have dripped down the side of the mattress.
There's been a little dripping. There's a little bit of dripping. Mm-hmm. And coming from a person that lived with a roommate that had two cats and refused to clean their litter boxes and everything else.
Shots fired.
It just... no names, but it was unbearable. Like my eyes would tear. I couldn't even stay in that apartment, and she didn't even smell it. She's just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And she's like, there's a point where the cat, she's like, one of the nice things I have left is that beautiful portrait, the beautiful painting of Big Edie as a young woman, and cat goes to the bathroom behind the portrait, and she says something like, good, I'm glad somebody's doing something they want to do. She makes a comment about being happy the cat is pissing behind her portrait because in that moment, that cat is doing what they want. Freedom, baby.
It's all about having freedom, man. That is, and I you're talking about like the direct cinema technique that the Maisels use. And I think that was kind of a Maisels thing because they did Salesman, which I think was the first doc of its kind where they didn't interview. They just followed those salesmen, like the comb salesman and the Bible salesman and those guys. And that is definitely kind of their technique. But I also wonder, I'm a big fan of weird Americana docs. Those is maybe my favorite genre of documentaries is weird Americana. It's kind of the stuff Errol Morris was doing with Pet Sematary and all that kind of shit. So it makes me think, was like, is this the first weird Americana doc that come out where it's just like, let's just peel back the onion layers and just fucking look at this weirdness that's happening.
That is interesting, and it's such a world that is so unknown to me. Is any like other maybe I don't know about the Great Depression, but I know about being poor, or you know, like there's other slices of life that I'm like, oh, I don't know that life, but I can get it. I don't know a thing about New England old money rich debutante. I know nothing. They could be on the moon and I'd be like, yeah, sure. But you know, so it's an interesting, like, oh, I know weird old people like that live in a farmhouse. Is that the same thing? Like, so it's to me, it's like watching Aliens at some point. But
yeah, I have two friends that grew up with like lots of money. One of them on Long Island, like Russian mob money.
Whoa.
Her dad, they had tons of money, this huge house with gold, everything. And they are poor. Yeah. Like, just because they've just credited everything. Mm-hmm. There's so much debt. They're actually super poor. Yeah. But they have this, like, 14-room mansion. And to hear her talk about it, it's the same kind of thing where it's like, you know, people think you're rich and have it all together because you have the clothes. Because once you buy the clothes, you still have the clothes that look nice. But, like, they have no cash, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or it's just more embarrassing to admit. Like, maybe their friend, and people know. But, like, heaven forbid we actually acknowledge it. I can relate. That I can relate to. That's a passive-aggressive Midwest thing. I can relate to that. Like, oh, God, well, we know what's going on, but we would never. It's not our business. It's not our business.
That's not our business. It's basically Schitt's Creek. It's what Schitt's Creek is, you know, premised on.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's, I don't. Yeah, it's a weird character study for sure. And I just, like, I was hoping like there'd be some like follow up. I really wanted to know like what happens once they leave and like, you know, what happened? Do they go back to like nothing? Nothing could possibly change, right?
Right.
Like nothing's going to change between those two.
Yeah, and maybe that's also like the appeal of it is like we don't get any sort of resolution to I don't know what I want. Fixed or solved or close, like I don't know what I want, but I don't get it. I don't get any kind of closure. I don't get really any answers, and so then I just like my mind just keeps. All I have is to go back to what we've been shown. So I don't get to sit in any sort of comfy, cozy, answer or closure. I just have to go back to the cat piss house and the scarf dancing. Like, you don't, it's kind of an uncomfortable but interesting thing I have to sit in knowing these women.
Yeah, and there's almost no music either. Like, yeah. There's also no,
there's a lot of music, but it's like, it's diegetic music of like, yeah. There's like, also the audio in this is very difficult to deal with. I was thinking, like, this is a podcast. Like, if we really want to pay tribute to the podcast, I should just have been yelling over you the entire time from like another room.
It is like being with your grandparents.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I have 3 out of my 4 grandparents still, and my grandmother on one side. I have 2, my grandmother, grandfather. That grandmother will, she is right about everything, and she will let you know it, and she will interrupt every story. You know what I mean? Like, that talking over and like, no, that's not right, and little Edie, and shouting, and I'm like, oi, that is real. Yeah. I know that feeling.
As someone with an orange cat, and also just during quarantine, it's like living with one person, just like a lot of like, what?
Yeah.
What? Like a lot of yelling from other rooms.
Well, and as a newlywed, I have discovered in my 3 years of marriage that marriage is just shouting at your spouse from another room and then getting mad that they don't understand what you said.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just being mad that they didn't hear you, even though you mumbled or you shouted. I think that's all marriage is.
Oh my gosh.
I've decided.
I'm glad that we were discovering this now. Yes. This is something to know. Oh man.
Angie doesn't strike me as a shouter.
No, it's mostly, it's not shouting. It's just like, I've lost so much hearing over the years. And she'll say something at a normal volume, and I'll be like, what?
Huh?
Huh?
Yeah.
It's more like my hearing loss. But do you think, was this like a scandal to like the Bouvier family when this came out? That's one thing I was kind of unclear on. Also, like, I think we're all too young to have been around. There's like so much that's so specific to like people that lived during the 20s and 30s in this, like all the music and all the references and like the records they play and like the songs they talk about. It's just like very,
and the headlines that say like Jackie Kennedy's kin, every kin. Like other headline, it was like, it wasn't family, it was like her kin. We're too young to know, but it does seem like, I wonder if maybe just more important on the East Coast, because I can't imagine my family in the middle of North Dakota giving a rat's ass about Jackie Kennedy having some not so well-to-do cousins. I can't imagine it was a blip for, I mean, maybe within those circles of money.
Yeah, none of us are,
are old. Yeah, we're all very young and hip.
But super hip, super young.
More like from like Ivy League
Billie
world
Eilish,
or whatever.
Billie Eilish.
Right.
Or like from like, the East Coast money world. Because like even like, we're all like very removed from all of
it. And the brothers didn't like, if it had been such a scandal, between Jackie's people, Kennedy people, and the sons, I feel like they would have gotten them the fuck out of there or thrown money at it, more money at it, and fixed it up and made it like, you guys can live here and do what you want, but we're going to not let this happen. So it doesn't seem like it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or it was just like, there wasn't a lot of, like, we didn't have a million cable channels and reality and Kardashians. So maybe it was kind of like, scandalous for some people, but I don't know.
Although it was like 74 and this country was like going through like a horrible economic recession and Nixon and all that crap. So maybe people are like, whatever. And I think by that point, Jackie Onassis, I think her husband had probably died by that point. Mr. Onassis.
I don't know.
I think she's maybe is not even Onassis at the moment, or maybe she is. Yeah. The film, the version, the Jessica Lange version, there's also like a scene. I was very curious about this too. Like, there's a scene in that movie where it shows them like listening to the radio after, you know, JFK is being buried. Mm. Like, that had to be also a major weird impact on the entire Bouvier family as well.
Yeah.
Just that aspect.
Well, especially because little Edie makes a few comments about, I get lost of which Kennedy brother she's talking about, but she makes a few comments about like, she's rattling off all these suitors she had and I could have married him and he was really nice. And like, I told Jack Kennedy this and da 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 da. And I'm like, did you know?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. So, Joe Kennedy, I guess she was maybe could have dated, was dating or had dated him. And then John Paul Getty was the other one that was like brought up. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, I have no doubt. Yeah, I have no doubt that there were some, because she was stunning, first of all. She seems like she probably was a heck of a good time dancing in independent, not necessarily like she was not just smooching and stuff. I mean, she just seems like she wanted to go dancing and live life, and she could discuss poetry, and she seemed interesting. Like, I have no doubt the suitor. Yes.
I studied literature and Oriental philosophy.
Two roads diverge in the woods. Oh, it's like, I have no doubt she, like, this suitor, absolutely John Paul Getty wanted to get in on that. Are you kidding me? And then I don't know what happened.
Did you guys watch The Crown?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't. I've started to, and then I haven't. I want to, though. I think
it has a bit of that to it. Dude, it kind of reminds me a bit of that, of the monarchy and the hidden children and the party children that they put aside.
I was thinking a little bit about the, like, the Oprah, Harry and Meghan interview, like, during this in a weird way. It's just like, I mean, obviously, like, it's very different. But, like, this is American aristocracy, right? This is, like, the upper class. I guess they were, like, the Catholic WASPs or something of the East Coast. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting, too. I think, doesn't Big Edie make some, like, disparaging comments about, like, the Catholic, she makes a really funny comment about some, like, Little Edie is like, I adore the Catholic Church, I worship the Catholic Church, and Father so-and-so, and Big Edie's like, I love Father so-and-so, I'd invite him over to spend the night. Like, she makes some comment about inviting him. It's like,
Big Edie don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Oh.
And the fact that their names are Big and Little Edie is just also just, you just, this is all the shit. This is why I love documentaries so much, because it's like, you couldn't write this.
Yeah.
You know? Like, this is the stuff that you can't write, that I'm so glad that, like, people like the Maisels were like, hey, let's film Jackie Onassis and her sister. And they're like, ugh, what about these people over here? Like,
and if you try to explain to someone, no, she had alopecia. What's alopecia? Okay, she didn't have any hair, so she would put a shirt on her head and make it hair. What are you talking about?
I mean, Beavis and Butthead?
No, she would tie it. Yeah. No, she would, like, tie it, and then she would, like, flip it, and, like, it really, it moved like hair. What?
Yeah. They're like, wait, what? When can we film these people? Like, well, there's a lot of raccoons and cats, but
we have to make sure the home is safe, first of all. I mean, they're living there, but it might not be safe. Like, oh, can she go up and down the stairs? No, she shouldn't. She will die. She's an old woman who shouldn't leave her room. And she doesn't, for the most part.
And she doesn't. Watching her come down those stairs for her birthday party, I was like, oh, no, this can't be good.
That wooden cane she was using, like, a toothpick for a cane. I was just like, oh, God, somebody help this woman.
I was amazed when we came over for anytime someone comes over. It's just like, it's like, what? I mean, like there is, like, a grocery delivery at one point.
Well, that grocery guy drops the box off and gets the hell out of there.
He's like,
he stretches his arm so far, because I'm sure it just reeks. Like, they know exactly what's up.
Mm-hmm. Dude, what do they do? Do they flip coins at the grocery store to see who goes and delivers to them? It's just like, do they draw straws? It's like, your turn. Like, fuck. All right.
Or maybe they like it, because I got to say, one of the first things I forgot, I was like, Little Edie, body be banging. She is a beautiful woman. She's wearing the heck out of those bathing suits. Not that that's what matters, but she makes several comments about gaining weight. I was like, she's like 56 or something in this film, the mother says. I was like, I would love to look like that now. Look at this. Like, fit, looking good.
Little Edie looking good, for sure. Especially for mid-50s. And she's got an incredible infectious smile. Like, when you don't expect her to, you never expect her to smile. At least watching this doc. And then she'd just be like, but the ocean, you know, I'm always like, oh, she still sees, like, the beauty.
Yeah, it's a genuine smile. Like, there's points where she, or genuinely giggles or is embarrassed in a wonderful way. I also wonder about her eyesight, because she uses a magnifying glass.
Dude.
When she steps on the scale and then uses a magnifying glass to look down at her feet to see how much she weighs. Again, if you explain to someone Oh, like, what does the character do in this scene? Well, she gets out. And when she's reading, there's another point with the magnifying glass, and she's reading a book about signs. And she's like, I just need a Libra man. I need a Libra husband. I have to find a Libra. That's the perfect answer. I need a Libra husband. You're like, oh, I don't think that's going to solve it. But. Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen Crumb, Amber.
Oh my God.
I don't think I have, but I need to see it.
You should see it. If you like Grey Gardens, you'll love Crumb because it's the family dynamic reminds me so much of this, of just like, obviously Big Edie and Little Edie are of high intelligence and Crumb has that same thing. They're both like of like, in Crumb, it's just like this super smart, dysfunctional family that lives in filth, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's got the same kind of feel. Even Zweigoff even has the same kind of style. I think Crumb came out in, what, 91? 92-ish?
Early 90s, yeah. So definitely influenced by Maisel's, you'd think, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so it's got the same kind of feel. And I noticed that you wrote in your like response form to us that you had this doc that you wanted to recommend, Crazy Love.
Yeah, that was the one that I had mentioned to George that I didn't know if you guys had done. And it is about, I think he's a producer of sorts now. It's about a couple that they start dating in like the late 40s, early 50s, and on and off, and she's much younger than him, and they have this tumultuous relationship that at a point they break up and he hires someone to throw acid, lie in her face. And then they get back together like after that. And it's just another, like Little Edie, it's like this interesting, like the woman, at least in the relationship, but there's a point where she's like, feels she's talking about being trapped and she'd never been with anybody else. And like, this guy was married when they met and like all these things that you're like, why are you, you're not trapped. You can go and do whatever you want, but it's also a different time in history. So maybe she can't. And then they end up, they're together, like they're interviewed together. It's like, I get you, if you read about it, it's kind of a spoiler, but like, it's just a fascinating, like they truly have been through everything. And girls love a bad boy, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's awful, but like the things that we will put up with for quote unquote love / not being alone. It's a fascinating, disgusting, horrible story. You guys, it's awful. It's a horrible story. You should watch it.
Yeah.
And make sure to, do you know what it's streaming on?
You know, I don't, I think when I first saw it, I had the physical disc from Netflix. I got one at a time and I had seen it on a physical DVD, but I feel like
it's older.
It's an older film and I should rewatch it. Cause now I'm like, I wonder if it was good or if I was just like, wow, like women had to go through like a lot back then.
Yeah.
And like, so glad I don't have to do that. I'm so glad that I don't have to stay with a man who hired someone to like disfigure my face because I was too pretty. Like it is. Yeah. Just a bizarro, manipulative, crazy, crazy love.
It's just crazy
love. It's just crazy love. Oh, God.
Docs, thank God for docs and during this COVID, man, you know, because like, have you been watching a lot or do you
you know, we go through phases. Like, we are in a deep Buffy and Angel rabbit hole in my household. And, which for the last, it's truly for the last month, that's like, oh, we've watched that in like The Expanse, because it's just fluff. So I think like sometimes like my queue and all the memberships are Criterion Channel, the Canopy, all these like cool artsy things I have memberships to. My queue of films is insane. But every time I want to watch something like that, I'm like, too much. I need to see what Willow's up to. And let me see that Spike bad boy. That's the kind of bad boy I can handle right now. Like it's too much. So, but this isn't, rewatching this and now talking about this, I'm like, I need to get out of that funk and see some things.
Yeah, I've been watching The Bachelor, so that's been like a new development in our lives. I'm like, I chose a weird season to get into that because of all the stuff that's going on around the racism involved in that show. It's very racist.
Yeah.
It got more than
unfortunately, me. The girl I'm seeing loves The Bachelor, and she's like, how come you don't watch it? And I was like, I like good stuff. I'd rather watch something that's, and I was like, oh shit.
It's entertaining. I'll give it that. Yeah. It is entertaining.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
Do you think I was just thinking about like two things also that were also recently kind of tie into this film in a weird way is like the Britney Spears conservatorship. And there was that movie I Care a Lot, which is also about like conservatorship. And like, it's weird to be, it's a film about rich people, but it's also about structural failures in some way.
Yeah.
Right. It's sort of like,
they mentioned getting like at one point, Big Eddie was like, you can't be free when you're on when you're being taken care of, mm-hmm. or she said like on an allowance or something. So like, I forget how she phrases it, but I think the Bouvier money is the only thing holding them over at this point.
I think so.
And, I think Big Eddie at that point is just like given up and settled in because she has no other choice, to your point, George, of these, I haven't watched the Britney Spears one. It makes me too sad to think about, which is not a good excuse, like just ignoring the
it's
pain.
It's a really good doc.
Yeah. So I think that does seem very relevant. It seems like a similar, like they're trapped in this, wealth circle.
Yeah. Should someone have intervened in this? It's like, I'm still unclear in like in the mental health respect or just like whatever they would have said back in 74, 75.
Right.
Like,
and the brothers that tried.
Is it like,
And what was little Edie's deal? Cause there's something, I keep saying there's something not quite right. But then as soon as I say that, I'm like, well, she's fine. Like, but what? She's fine. There's nothing wrong with her. She's a little kooky. Mm-hmm. And she maybe is unclear about the past and present and like her reality, her options for the future. But aren't we all? Yeah. I'm still in LA trying to make.
That's the part. We're very deluded.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm on a veil for a commercial that starts like tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, I might get it. Oh. They might email me.
Oh,
you know,
that'd
like,
be awesome.
Oh, I'm going to tell you some stuff when we get off mic.
Right. You know, just, it's just like, we're all, so it isn't just to your point, like, what is, what and is how much realistic? Were people stepping in? What is realistic? It's more just at that point, I think their physical safety, of being in that house is more the thing that would have worried me. But again, the brothers, I think from what I read, tried to intervene. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother is so, we're going through some similar things in my family, which I'm sure they would love me talking about. But, stubborn. You want a staunch woman? You come talk to my grandmother. She's
what's your name? What's your grandma's name?
Margaret. Margaret, and then Elvina. Elvina is also a staunch woman. And they're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. They don't want to.
Elvina. You don't play with Elvina.
No, you do not play with Elvina. A German Russian Elvina. You know, she does what she wants. Mm-hmm. And we'll also, you go visit her, she turns the TV up while we're chatting when we're visiting her.
Awesome. Yep. She's like, uh-huh.
Yep.
Great.
Yep. Oh, my program's on. I love this song. I'm like, okay.
Okay, great. So my life's going to got married. Uh-huh. Just a sec. Let me,
All to say, who knows, help may have been offered to these women, but I don't know that they were going to take it without restrict. You know, like they had their own rules and they were going to play by their rules.
If you were to use one word to describe Grey Gardens, what word would you use?
Oh gosh, that is a good question. I don't know what the word is, but what's a word that's like a couple notches below hopeful? Like something like,
notches below.
Like hope, but minus a few, you know what I mean? Like, it's not hopeless. Like, because I do like, there's something so wonderful in their delusion, but also their Big Edie's like, the raccoon did that. Like they know they're living in squalor, but you might as well put up with some decorations. Like so it's like this, like, it's not delusions of grandeur, but it's delusions of like, okay.
I feel like, right. There's definitely delusions happening. Yeah.
I don't know. So maybe, whatever that is.
whatever. That's a great place to wrap this up. I believe that's awesome. Amber, tell us and everyone else that's listening where we can find you and what's going
on.
Yeah.
As George mentioned at the top, I have an album about to celebrate its 1 year. Happy anniversary. Yay. Yeah. Don't have another one. Haven't written a lot of new stuff in the age of Zoom. Mm-hmm. But I'm at Preston Party on all of the social media because Amber Preston was a webcam girl when I signed up for all of the things. Oh, so I now have things. I now YMDB. Have amberpreston.com. Yeah, exactly. She's since retired.
Okay.
But when I first signed up for everything, I just did Preston Party. But so that's my Twitter and Instagram. And,
Sparkly Parts.
Sparkly Parts is the album out on Stand Up Records, and it's on all the downloading, streaming. Just make a Pandora station if you got no money. That helps too, or whatever.
And Amber is performing on Talkies this Friday.
Yes,
the 19th.
Yes.
Talkies show. On Eventbrite, yeah.
And you have your Instagram show as
Yeah, Thursday nights, every Thursday night. We flop, Mary Mac and I, it's on our Instagram lives. We attempt to get dressed. We it's just so that we brush our hair and get out of bed.
Sounds like a good time to bring in a headscarf.
Yes. Oh, I know. I may need to. I know. I thought about that. I was like, I should do so. I put on a bold lip. I put on some lipstick for this Zoom podcast in honor of this woman's history.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you so much for bringing us Grey Gardens.
Yeah.
It's a classic look at dysfunction, moms, corn, raccoons, cats. Next door neighbors.
All
Who
of
else?
It.
What else?
Fashion.
All of it.
Dancing.
Fashion.
Boovie, boovie, booviest.
Yes. The booviest, booviest.
All right. Thank you so much, Amber.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com, recapping reality since 2015.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel. Our show was engineered by Will Scoville. Our associate producer is Nick Coltis.
Please donate to the show through our Patreon page, patreon.com/supdocpodcast. If you want to help us in other ways, please share the show with a friend.
Join the Doc Talk and check out our hot takes, pictures, and videos on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're SupDoc Podcast on all those platforms.
And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
To find out more about my and George's comedy gigs, check out our About Us page on our website.
And SupDoc is by Doc fans for Doc fans. So if you want to advertise, got a film or opinions you want to share, just hit us up.
We'd love to hear more from you and what you're docking out on. So email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.